I followed the guidelines, but then I bucked the system a little bit. And then when I made the decision to have my spleen removed, I was at peace with it. And again, if I knew then what I knew now, then that would have been a different choice. But we can't change the past, and it is what it is. And I now, every decision that I make, I'm honoring my body and I'm giving my body. You mentioned about This Is Your Self-Love podcast. I love looking after my body. I love giving my body love. I love giving my body everything that it needs to be the best that it can be. And what I implore people to do is not wait until you have a health crisis to realize that our body is deserving of that and we are worthy of that.
TheWellnessCouch.com, streaming wellness into your lives. Download the app today.
Welcome to the Self Love Podcast, the show that helps crack open your heart and inspire a deeper regard for your own well-being and happiness. Proudly brought to you by 28 Essentials. Here's your host, the gorgeous Kim Morrison.
Welcome to the Self Love Podcast. This week, a phenomenal soul, the beautiful Therese Kerr. With over 20 years of dedicated service in the wellness industry, she prides herself on being a leader in this particular industry, committed to guiding and empowering individuals to lead healthier lives. Her mission is to educate people on the importance of living as chemically free as possible, thereby honoring their bodies and promoting their highest level of health. As a fervent believer in social justice, free speech, and bodily autonomy, she stands for the power of choice, empowering individuals to freely make decisions that best serve their life, their health, and their well-being. Her journey in the wellness field has not only been about promoting physical health, but also about advocating for the rights and freedoms that allow us all to live harmoniously and to freely choose as we wish. I know you're going to love this week's interview. Not only do we get to hear her amazing story, but there is a big call to action. And I'm asking you, the beautiful Self Love Podcast listener, to make sure you go on and vote in the cause that we talk about so passionately in this beautiful interview. I've put all the links in the show notes, and I've also placed Therese Kerr's socials so that if you forget everything, just go to her Instagram page, Therese Kerr, and you will see there in her links where you can go and vote in order to make this amazing documentary come to life. I really, really hope we support her to support these beautiful souls to change the law and transform lives and make what's been so wrong, make it right, make it better, and make it okay for all of these beautiful, innocent families. You're going to know what I'm talking about when you hear it. I really, really thank you for being on the ride with me. And if you've got any comments, thoughts, or feedback, you can also reach out to me on my Instagram page, Kim Morrison and the number 28, Facebook, Kim Morrison Training. You can head on over to thewellnesscouch.com/selflovepodcast. Thank you so much for being such a passionate advocate of this podcast and for listening to such beautiful souls as Therese. And this week is definitely a request, a call, and an absolute desire to have things change for the greater good. Thank you so much for tuning in. Take care. Be kind. As you know, each and every week, I get the incredible opportunity to speak to people that I truly look up to, people who are trailblazing their way, particularly in the wellness sector. And this week is no exception. I am delighted to welcome to the Self Love Podcast, the beautiful Therese Kerr. Welcome, gorgeous.
Oh, thank you so much, Kimmy. It's so beautiful to be here. And I just love your podcast and I love everything you stand for.
Oh, well, you know, I've been dying to get you on. We've been having a number of conversations off air and online. But before we get into all of the things that you are so passionate and particularly trailblazing for at the moment, would you mind just giving the listener a little brief background as to how you've become such an incredible leader in the wellness space and what put you into this trajectory? Where did you come from? Why did you go down this path?
Well, it's a bit of a long story, but, you know, I think most of us think we're healthy until something happens as such. And that's what happened in my instance. So in 2001, I discovered to my absolute shock that I had tumors in my spleen. And I refused to have my spleen removed for 12 months. And then the doctors sort of nearly put the fear of God into me. And I didn't know what I didn't know. I always say we don't know what we don't know until we know it. And I didn't know, you know, the things that I know now in relation to health and how so many things, you know, even emotional stress, how stress in general can affect your body and so on. And anyway, I had tumors in my spleen. We're at a fork in the road. My beautiful girl, Miranda, wouldn't go and pursue her modeling career, not knowing if her mama, you know, was going to be okay. And anyway, I ended up having my spleen removed and I had tumors in my spleen. And from that point on, I really thought, you know what? What did I do to my body to cause my body to react that way? And I started researching and learning and delving into the chemicals in our everyday lives and how they impact our health. And it just opened a new world up to me that I was totally oblivious to, and one that I love and I've been involved in ever since I first was diagnosed with tumors in my spleen.
Why do you think it takes us humans a catastrophe, an epiphany, a health crisis in order for us to wake up when it seems so obvious once you know what you know?
Yeah, that's a very good question. And I guess it's just, I think that we are, and especially nowadays, we are so busy. You know, I've been a career woman all my life. We've got two beautiful children, Matthew and Miranda, and I've basically worked full-time since Maddie, our youngest, was one. And I was career-driven and, you know, we don't stop along the way to honor our body. Many of us don't. And I think it's so important that we actually do stop and listen to our body, listen to the cues our body gives us, because our body gives us the cues. We just choose to ignore it or we're oblivious to them until such time as it's too late, you know, and then we have no alternative but to choose or to discover, hopefully, what's actually gone wrong and why as such, and then try your best, you know, to learn as much as you can to be able to rectify the situation and to transform the way you lived before so that you can choose powerfully how to live in the future and moving forward. And that's what I did. That's basically my story in a nutshell, but I just didn't know what I didn't know.
Yeah. There isn't, not everybody responds the way you did. Mm-hmm. Not everybody is open to seeing that there is a different side or different perspectives, or even, dare I say it, agendas behind all of these things. Yeah. One of the things that I really admire about you is you didn't just go, oh, there's something different here. You actually went down a real rabbit hole of investigation and worked with professors and doctors and researchers. Yeah. Could you tell us a little bit about how that opened you up even more?
Well, I'm so blessed. I've done a lot of work with Professor Mark Cohen, who is a medical doctor and a professor. He was at the RMIT University in Melbourne, but he's now gone out and he's just living his life so beautifully and so graciously. And he's just an amazing, incredible, incredible man, incredible human. I've worked with other people as well. And I guess I've always been curious, and I don't know whether it was my upbringing or what that had me be curious. But if I get my teeth into something, I think it's that O blood type thing where, you know, it's like I got to learn everything that I can in regard to it. Otherwise, I'm not fulfilled. And I just need to know. It's a need to know in relation to, you know, why this happened to my body, for example. And how can I now rectify that and, you know, turn it around and aligning with people who understand nutrition, like, and also understand the body. You know, Dr. Jen Barham Floriani and Simon Floriani, they are two of the closest people in the world to me, and their knowledge on health and wellness, and I've just become a sponge for that, and I love it, and I love to share that. And I say to people, take from this what serves you, leave what doesn't, but at least be informed. If you're informed, you can make informed choices and informed decisions about your health.
I think that's a very important distinction right there and then. We all make decisions every moment of every day. Many of them we may think were informed based on what our parents believed or what our upbringing was. That little thing you said just before about curiosity is probably one of the most profound insights each of us could actually take on as a trait. When you think back to making the decision to have your spleen removed, even after a year of thinking about it and trying to find alternatives, did you ever feel bamboozled or not bullied, but like it was the only way? And if so, how did you cope with that decision once you'd made it?
That's interesting, Kimmy, that question, because I did feel pressured to have my spleen removed. I was told that I either had lymphoma or cancer that had metastasized to my spleen. And then I was, you know, I didn't know, you know, the information that I needed to know. And I, you know, we can, you know, if wishes were, you know, if we could turn them into reality, we'd all, you know, it'd be magical, but we can't. But I wish that I knew the information I now know now before I had my spleen removed. But we can't live in regret either. We have to choose powerfully based on the decisions that we've made. And then I would never have had my spleen removed if I knew then what I know now. But that's okay. I didn't know. So I'm not going to beat myself up in regard to it. The doctors, the oncologists were saying, you know, we need to x-ray you every month. Then I'm like, well, what's that doing to my body if I'm going to have to do that? I've had bone marrow biopsies. I had all that, all the tests under the sun when I had tumors in my spleen. And, you know, I followed the guidelines, but then I bucked the system a little bit. And then when I made the decision to have my spleen removed, I was at peace with it. And again, if I knew then what I knew now, then that would have been a different choice. But we can't change the past, and it is what it is. And I now, every decision that I make, I'm honoring my body and I'm giving my body. You mentioned about this is your self-love podcast. I love looking after my body. I love giving my body love. I love giving my body everything that it needs to be the best that it can be. And what I implore people to do is not wait until you have a health crisis to realize that our body is deserving of that and we are worthy of that.
Can I just say also, you know, we've all made decisions based on what we thought was right at the time. We're all doing the best that we can in each and every moment, most of us. I think one of the greatest things I've just heard you say then, and I'd love the listener to hear this, is having compassion for oneself for those decisions, even mm-hmm. when we know better, we do better. Mm-hmm. And also honoring ourselves and forgiving ourselves mm-hmm. for making decisions that maybe we wouldn't make now with the knowledge that we now have. Is there anything that you've done for yourself specifically to forgive yourself or to even allow yourself space to actually truly love yourself for the decisions you have and haven't made?
Oh, most definitely. I've been on meditation journeys. I've traveled and spent, and my husband, you know, who I've been with since I was 16, and he's my soulmate. We are so blessed. Our souls have evolved together along our journey, and we are so, so blessed. And, you know, I'd go on these meditation retreats and I'd meditate for 8 hours a day, you know, just to give myself the ability to release emotions that I had. And I believe also not only the physical environmental factors caused me to have tumors in my spleen, but also suppressed emotions that I'd never, ever dealt with. So I can honestly tell you, having tumors in my spleen is the best thing that ever happened to me, because I wouldn't be who I am but for that. And I wouldn't have the awareness around, you know, just being able to really honor yourself and to be accepting of yourself and to be accepting of all the things that have happened in your life, good and bad, and to really understand that I wouldn't be who I am but for those decisions. And I'll just share with you, Kimmy, one thing that I did is I spent some time with Dr. John DeMartini. and I had a one-on-one with him, and he's a beautiful man. And he said, would you, Therese, at your soul level, at who you are at your soul level, would you change who you are? And I thought about it and I thought, do you know what? I wouldn't. I really wouldn't. You know, I'm a very caring, loving, compassionate, empathetic person. I love people. You know, at the core of my existence, I just love. And I thought, you know what, I wouldn't. And he said, well, if that's your answer, you have to find gratitude for everything that's happened in your life. And then I'm like, I had a bit of a discussion with him because my mum died when I was only young and I was pregnant with my first daughter. And she passed away of a heart attack. She was here 1 minute and gone the next. Anyway, I said, I don't know if I can find gratitude for that. I said, I can definitely find acceptance after a lot of work. I found acceptance, but I said, I don't believe I can find gratitude. And he just left me with the fact, well, would you have that deep level of compassion and love? And would you have that depth of your soul if that didn't happen? And I can honestly say no. And there's other things that have happened to me in my life. And it's like, you know what? Just be grateful, because you wouldn't be who you are but for those experiences. Don't get bitter. Don't get twisted in regard to it. Just be love. And I always try to live from the point of what would love do now. And we have, Johnny and I have a little mantra, which is, how does it get any better than this? What else is possible? And aren't we lucky and aren't we blessed?
Oh, and that's so beautiful. Can you just say that again? How does it get any better than this?
What else is possible? So when you put that out to the universe, so we can have something really lovely happen and we can say, oh my gosh, how great is that? Full stop. But if you actually say, oh my gosh, how great is that? How does it get any better than this? You're actually asking the universe, and then the universe answers and says, well, if you think that's good, well, let me show you what's even better. And it's like, well, what else is possible? Well, let me show you. And I've got to tell you that even my son-in-law, who is the owner of, you know, a multi-billion dollar business, he got up on stage at a Snapchat function and said, my mother-in-law and father-in-law told me this and I've adopted it in my life. And I'm like, how beautiful is that?
Do you know, this is the Self-Love Podcast. You've mentioned it. You're saying so many things around acceptance, awareness, honoring oneself. Have you got a specific definition of self-love by chance, sweetheart?
My definition of self-love, really, like, it's really about knowing you are worthy, knowing that you deserve everything that you are so willing to give to other people. You know, we give our heart and soul as parents, as mothers, we give our heart and soul to our children. We try the best to give our heart and soul to our partner, our husband, or our wife. We try to help I think most women, and I don't mean to generalize, but most women in general do. We're so giving and so nurturing, but we forget to nurture ourselves, and we are as deserving, you know, as any other person on this planet. And one thing I found very difficult as I was growing up, it's like being somebody who loves to give and loves to nurture. I've been called Mother T all my life, even from a little girl, because I'm mother people and I love to do that. But ultimately, one thing I found very difficult was to receive, and allowing ourselves to receive is so important. And I'll share a little experience. It's a little bit long-winded, the answer to your question, but I'll share an experience, and it was Simon Floriani. We were busy flat out with Cora, with all things that we were doing. And anyway, I was worn out, and he ran a bath and put petals in my bath. I stayed with them, and he put beautiful essential oils, and he ran this bath. And that's the first time that I actually allowed myself to receive something without saying, oh, well, I'll help or whatever. And I cried. I sobbed. It was beautiful.
I actually feel like crying hearing it. I think I'm fairly similar. And I've had the privilege of speaking on stage with you and being alongside of you for many years. I've witnessed and watched everything you've created, not only with Cora, the beautiful skincare range, your beautiful daughter and son, your husband, your family, but also all the things you do around wellness and how you do it. I love the way you speak and I love the way you portray your messages. I want to just go backwards if it's all right with you.
Yeah.
I do think, and this is just a generalized statement as well, speaking of love and self-love, many doctors, many specialists get into the field, I do think, with a noble intent, with a desire to support and help others. Why do you think many, and I'm not saying all, become so fixated that that way then is the only way, as opposed to someone like you who goes, well, there's a way, but your curious mindset goes, but hang on, there could be not only another way, there could be another 50 ways. Mm. How do you, or why do you think so many medical experts aren't willing to seemingly have that same curious mindset, yet they start out with such noble intent?
I agree. You know, I think people become doctors because they want to help people as such, and that's their desire overall, I believe, predominantly with doctors and so on. And we need doctors. Don't get me wrong. We need doctors for accident and emergency, you know, and so on. They don't know anything about nutrition, and that's a fact as such, but they're not open to learning. And I wonder, like I've actually often thought of that question, because when I had tumors in my spleen, I spoke to my doctor and said, you know, what can I do nutritionally to support my body? And, you know, I was eating apricot kernels. I was doing all sorts of things, you know, doing the things that I needed to do to support my body. And they just laughed and basically said, you know what, nutrition's not going to help you. And it's like, what, you know? How can you say that? We are living organisms. Our cells need beautiful food and nutrients and don't need to be chemically laden, you know, with all the environmental factors that we have. And I just honestly think that doctors are overworked, you know, they probably are overwhelmed with the workload, and they're told, you know, and they trust in the system as such. And unfortunately, a lot of them, I've met many doctors who are, you know, now leaning towards the natural side as such, which is so beautiful to see. I just embrace those doctors who are open-minded and who are, I just marvel at the fact that they have both sides and they've been willing to actually look at both sides and to be able to help people support their health and treat the cause, not the symptom. And I think to answer your question, I really think that they're just taught what they're taught. Many of them don't have the time, perhaps. They're overwhelmed. They don't have the time to look outside. They get caught in that bloody wheel that we all get caught in of life, where it's just you're so damn busy. And, you know, I give absolute credit to any doctor who actually does stop and say or question, well, this isn't working. How can I transform the way that I, you know, treat people as such, as opposed to just giving them a pill for every ill as such? You know, I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, it does. The sad thing is we saw it over the whole last 4 or 5 years of what can occur even when doctors go up against doctors or medical experts or professors go up against, and they have very different viewpoints. Sadly, and I interviewed a beautiful woman, Alex Stewart, who I'm sure you know, Low Tox
yes.
Living.
Yes.
And she actually is she has a degree in political science. And one of the things she talked about, or one thing she said, was one of the worst things that happened in the political world was when corporate money backed campaigns and the agenda then started to change. Mm-hmm. My grandmother was told in her 40s, 50s, when granddad died from war wounds, to start up smoking to help reduce stress. My grandmother believed everything a doctor said. They were seen as gods, for want of a better word. It's almost like we've swung in these different, the pendulum has really swung. But this corporate dollar, and this is where I wanted to go with you today, there just seems to be agendas, and it's very hard for everyday people to know who to believe when you have convincing arguments with top educated professors, doctors, medical experts, completely opposite views. Why do you think the money has become such an issue now that doctors themselves are maybe even blinded by it?
I don't know. I wish that I had the answer to that, Kimmy. I really don't know. I think that, you know, the medical profession, you know, is governed by the pharmaceutical company or companies as such, and they're driven by that. And how did we get here? That's the question. How did we reach this point where, you know, the drug companies, you know, are dictating basically and control almost the syllabus within medical schools and its funding? I think a lot of it all comes back to funding and money and having that money available to be able to dictate really what you want.
And isn't that an interesting thing in itself, why perhaps we are being called to wake up? You know, you are one of the people who has not only got more curious, not only done the research, but you've also used a beautiful platform in which to speak your mind and speak your truth. You're also someone who's open to learning. So it's not like even when you say something, you're not open to saying, I could learn more.
Yeah, or I could be wrong.
Right.
You know.
And so I want to ask you, who are some of the, just so the listener would know, who are some of the biggest thought change agents in your world that you would say, you know, follow these particular people? Is there anyone apart from the Fleuranis, is there anyone else that you would say has, and Mark, has, that we could follow, that just is someone that's really important to you?
Oh, Dr. Kelly Brogan. She's amazing. What an absolutely incredible woman. I've met Kelly and been at the Mind Foundation and spoken at the Mind Foundation. You know, it's just an absolute honor for her, you know, a registered psychiatrist, to be able to speak the way she does and step out of the system. It takes guts to do that. You know, definitely Professor Mark Cohen, and as you said, the Fleuranis, they're incredible people. David Wolf, I've met David Wolf. My husband and I have gone and squeezed the cacao, you know, plants over in Hawaii with him and spent time with him. And he's absolutely, absolutely a gem of a human being, wanting the best for people and, you know, reaching out to anyone, you know, that anyone who is inspired by nature. I would recommend anyone that you can find inspired by nature to be able to help people. People that you need to follow. And David Wolf is definitely one of those people. And he's amazing, amazing human being as well.
I love them. I love all of these souls.
Cindy O'Meara is another.
Of course.
Everyone, your listeners will know of Cindy. She's amazing, you know.
Yeah. I will.
Mason, can I also share Mason, Mushrooms by Mason, Mason Taylor. Absolutely phenomenal guy. I don't know if you've heard of him, but he does all the mushrooms, you know, the Reiki and the Shaga and all of the Jing, and just amazing.
I think this is what's so beautiful, that line, inspired by nature. All of the people you've mentioned, I follow, except I've just learned about Mason Taylor, but all of them I followed, and they all talk about the biorhythms, the natural cycles, the evolution of nature herself, and how Mother Nature is such an exquisite example of how to live in harmony, live in truth. Yep. When you think about your life as a mum, as a wife, as a teacher, as an educator, a businesswoman, when you think about all of the things, how would you describe you as a leader today? What is your biggest things that you would invite or encourage people to do, particularly as we lead into one of your latest campaigns at the moment?
I honestly believe that we should have an open mind and always be open to learning, to, you know, not be, you know, so rigid that you can't. I believe we are always learning. There's always something new to learn and to grasp, and that will be an aha moment. It's like, you know, when you have those beautiful aha moments, like, wow, I didn't know that. And I often say that when I'm learning something, it's like, wow, I'm 59 years old, I'm 60 next year, and I've just learnt this. And that's really exciting. I think that's one of my, it's how I would describe myself, is a very open, I will listen to people, and I may not choose, but I may not choose to do what they recommend or whatever, but I choose powerfully what resonates with me. And I really encourage people to do that, and to really have an open heart and to have open eyes and see the unseen, you know, hear the unspoken as such, because there's so much going on behind the scenes that, you know, people need to be aware of in relation to, you know, the drugs that are being pushed, and, well, what's really behind the pushing of that, you know, or many of the other things that we're subjected to, you know, in our world as such. Actually question, be a critical thinker. I think it's so important to be a critical thinker and not just, you know, don't just follow the status quo, but actually question things. And that's one thing that I've really learned to do. And that's what we'll talk about in a minute as to, you know, one of the things that I'm very passionate about at the moment. I'm a big believer in social justice, and I really stand up for people who need support and try to use my profile as much as I can to do that, to help if I see an injustice and if I see something that's not right. You know, I believe that if you stay silent, you know, you're just as I don't mean to say the word bad, but I'm trying to think of a different word, but you are just as liable as if you stay silent and you know something as such. You need to really share it. And I think that I'm very powerful in that aspect. I'm not easily deterred. And if I believe something is right or it needs to be told, I will say it. And I've copped a lot of flack over the years in regard to that. And we had friends out yesterday and they're like, oh, yeah, a couple of things come up on the internet in regard to you, and they're like, we know they're not true. And I'm like, basically, you know what, they can say what they say, it's a reflection of them, it's not a reflection of me, and that's okay, love them anyway. And
white light
yeah, let it go and just be the best version of yourself that you can be open. If there's anything that I want to encourage your listeners, it's about being open and taking the time to delve deeply yourself into, you know, if someone tells you something or gives you some advice, do your own research in regard to it. Don't just rely on that. And that's what I say to people in relation to myself. Don't rely on what I'm saying. I've done my own research. I encourage you to do your own research, and then you can make an informed choice. And our informed decision.
You just mentioned you've used your profile, you have a platform. For those that don't know, your beautiful daughter, Miranda, amazing world-class model, your son's an exquisite human, you have an incredible family, a beautiful business that you all created, that you worked on together. Can you just explain, just before we go into this next phase, I just would love to know, how are the family? Is everybody well and happy and good?
Yeah, we have a beautiful, we're very, very blessed. Johnny and I were so young when we had Miranda. I wasn't even 18, and Johnny was 21. And, you know, my mum died when I was pregnant with Miranda, which was heartbreaking. Children, which, you know, again, I could be bitter and twisted about that, but I choose, you know what, to be someone that she would be so proud of as such. And, you know, I know that she would be. And, you know, our beautiful children, I couldn't ask for more beautiful children. And Miranda, honestly, is as beautiful on the inside as she is on the outside. She's a darling, and she's such a sweetheart. And that's why she is where she is, because, and so many times as she was growing up and going, doing a modeling, she wanted to quit and she never did, you know. And it's, you know, people think modeling's easy. Let me tell you, it's not. It's a hard slog. And there's so many times where, you know, she could have quit. And then I used to say to her, let your little light shine. I even had a pillow embroidered on her bed, let your little light shine, and Maddie as well, and always tried to encourage them to be the best that they can be and that they have the ability to achieve anything. And a lot of the people that Miranda worked with just said she's just the most amazing, kind-hearted, beautiful person, and she honestly is. And Matthew is the same as well. I always say Matthew would give his last cent and ours to anyone that needed it. And my husband is just an adorable human being, and, you know, we're just very, very blessed. We're a very close-knit family, and I have amazing brothers. I have a twin brother. I don't know if you know that I have a twin and two older brothers, and John's family is my extended family as well, and, you know, we're very blessed as a family to just have that close-knit connection that is, you know, forever.
Well, we all know that this is an active participatory role. Life just doesn't be beautiful without us all contributing, working on ourselves, committing to ourselves and giving of ourselves. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that shines through so beautifully with you all. You mentioned just before that you have a real passion for social justice. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I just saw recently with you online sparked my interest and my desire to reach out to you and want to talk about this. Do you think it's okay now if we go down this pathway around what has become so incredibly important, sad, mm-hmm. eye-awakening, mind-blowing? Mm-hmm. And would you mind explaining what your mission is at the moment?
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Kim. Yeah, it's a tragic story as such, and it's one that is being repeated around the world. And I've just recently shared across my socials a story. I've been working on a documentary with a friend. So approximately 4 or 5 years ago, friends of ours who are very dear friends and very dear people, beautiful heart-centered people, good Christian people, and they had tried for almost, they'd gone through IVF for 4 years, but tried for 9 years to have babies, and they ended up finally falling pregnant. Now, just to show you the care that these people had, the lady who was one of the nurses at the clinic where Naomi was doing IVF, she actually donated her egg so that Naomi and Zane could have their baby. And anyway, she ended up, Naya fell pregnant with twins and had a very rough pregnancy as such. And for the last 3 months of the pregnancy was in hospital. And then the twins came 4 weeks early. And then they were in hospital for another month. And then they got sent home. Naomi hadn't been out of hospital or basically outside really for 4 months. So she and her mother and grandmother went out for to get a few groceries. And in that time, Zane was home with the kids, and Pax and Zen are the twins. Pax had a medical episode. Now he stopped breathing. So as any good responsible parent will do, they will call emergency services. Naomi was so close that she got home before the emergency, the ambulance arrived. She was holding Pax and she was saying, the ambulance is coming, they're going to be here. The ambulance arrived and she noticed that Pax was doing this funny thing, and he said, oh, he's having a seizure. And she said, well, he was doing that in the hospital, but I tried to tell the doctors he was doing this in the hospital, but they never took any notice of him. Anyway, to cut a very, very, very long story short, they went to the hospital. Within 2 days, they were then charged with shaken baby syndrome, told that they had hurt Pax because he presented with what is called the triad of injuries. And the triad of injuries is a bridging vein injury, retinal hemorrhage, and brain bleeding as such. Now, there are over 40 known causes of those injuries, yet the doctor refused to acknowledge any of those and instead blamed Naomi and Zane for hurting their baby. As you can imagine, the shock and horror that that went through them when they were advised that, and the disbelief. And Naomi kept saying, please look for what's happening with my baby. There is something wrong with my baby. And they're like, no, we're not. We've stopped looking. We know you hurt your baby. Anyway, so to cut a very long story short, Zane was then charged with shaken baby syndrome, put in jail as such. Naomi is a fighter and an incredible, strong warrior, you know, of a woman, even though she's the most kind and beautiful-hearted lady. She just said, not on my watch, this is not happening. And they were basically told to plead guilty, take a plea bargain, and they said, no, we're not doing that. Naomi got Zane out of hospital. The night she got Zane out of hospital, the police and child services came and they took their children. And
sorry, hang on a minute. They got Zane out of hospital, or is that out of prison?
Out of prison, sorry. Out of prison. And that night, at 9 o'clock at night, they came and took their babies. They fought to get them back. They got them back as such. But now I'm working with them to tell their story, because for the last 18 months, I've been delving deep into this and understanding that this is happening all over the globe, you know, that people are being subjected to this. And there's, unfortunately, the shaken baby syndrome, SBS, or AHT, as it's now known in America, aggravated head trauma, it is based on a hypothesis of 1971, and we have Dr. Guthkelch, Norman Guthkelch, who was the creator of that hypothesis, saying on our 12-minute video that it was never meant to be the science of shaken baby syndrome, but unfortunately it was adopted as the science and it's become entrenched as the science. Now, there are specialists all over the world, specialists who have written a book called Shaken Baby Syndrome, who are now speaking out saying that there is no science, biomechanical science whatsoever, that proves that shaking a baby can cause those injuries as such. And in fact, a lot of them are saying that for a baby to have those injuries through shaking, you would have to have neck damage. Now, there has never been neck damage in a baby, according to the lawyers that we've spoken to, that had presented, you know, with this shaking, where the parents have been accused of this. And you know what, Kim? There are people who abuse children. Don't get me wrong. We know that. The challenge is that you cannot, as a point blank situation, if parents have a medical emergency with a child and the child appears at the hospital presenting with those injuries, they should be at the very least innocent until proven guilty, but they are guilty until proven innocent and they are accused of this and they don't have a leg to stand on. And Naomi and Zane fought for 3 years to clear their name. They found out after 3 years, just before they would go to trial, the case was dropped and they discovered that Pax has CVST, which is a blood clotting disorder. And unfortunately, the blood clotting disorder is what caused his injuries as such, yet the family went through absolute hell. They lost everything.
Not only did they lose everything, they lost years of time, of those formative years of creating bonds, the love, all the oxytocin, the connection, the release of what it means to actually grow together as a family, given it took them 9 years to have these two beautiful boys.
Yeah.
Can I just go back? You said there's three symptoms or three things in order for it to be called shaken baby syndrome. Could you just say those three things again?
Yep. They're called the triad of injuries. So it is retinal eye damage. So the retina is ruptured, bleeding on the brain, and a bridging vein injury.
So, but that's not just those symptoms can happen with many different things. I'm just curious.
There's 40 other known causes. Meningitis, there's lots of, and in the actual, our goal is to create a documentary, one, to bring awareness to this subject, to make most people, I wasn't aware, Naomi and Zane weren't aware that this was even happening, yet it's happening all over the world. And once you're thrown into it, you become acutely aware of how much this is happening in the world. So, you know, ultimately, our goal is to create awareness. to share stories. So we will share in our documentary, we will share stories of other families, and there are literally hundreds of stories that we could share. We won't in the documentary, we won't have the space to be able to share all of them, but we will share other stories where this has happened to people around the world, not just here in Australia. And we have, what I'm really excited though to share, Kim, is that we have approached Angel Studios. And Angel Studios are the creators or co-producers and funders of Sound of Freedom. And so they're big players. Now, we have passed the submission phase, but now we need people to vote to get this documentary made, because our goal is to share it to, one, create public awareness, two, to create a public outcry once people actually know about this. Three, transform the system, because it's a broken system where parents are actually automatically guilty until proven innocent. And then four, prevent this from happening to any other family. And five, return children rightfully to their homes, because what also happens is, and there are cases around the world where this is happening, where the parents have been accused, they've been thrown in jail, the children have been taken, all children, not just the child in question, but every one of their children has been taken away from them and put into foster care. So we need to create the awareness to be able to make this documentary so that we can transform that.
How will our vote help you do that?
Well, our vote is, we've got literally 2 weeks left. How the Angel Studio system works is that they have a voting system where the public votes whether or not they want this film made. And then once that vote comes in, it's either a yes or a no. Your vote will help to get this documentary made. We can't do it without people's help. You know, I've reached out to everyone that I can. And when you reached out to me to help support, I'm like, thank you so much, because this means so much to me, let alone to Naomi and Zane and the other families that who are going through this. So ultimately, it's either a yes, it will proceed, or a no, and it depends on the votes entirely. And we have 2 weeks left maximum to vote. So let's people, yeah, what they can do, darling, is I'll give you the link where they can go and vote. They can go to the Angel Studios. They have a guild. To vote, you need to become an Angels Guild member. You can just sign up for a month and vote, and then unfortunately there's a small fee, but what's the fee if you can free, you know, innocent children to, or innocent parents, and have them return home, or carers, or even grandparents. There are grandparents in hospitals. There are people on death row. Seven people in death row in America charged with this. And, you know, the science, if you listen to Dr. Wayne Squire, who is a neuropathologist, she will tell you she worked to prosecute a lot of these parents. She's now working to free them. Dr. Chris Brooks, who is an incredible, he's actually on the video, he's an incredible forensic scientist, and he's speaking out saying this is not okay that these people are being falsely accused. They're not given a fair trial. Michael Knott, who is the lawyer here in Australia who understands, you know, how to help defend parents against these claims as such. Because honestly, this can happen to anyone, Kim. If you have a sick child and you present to the hospital with this, know that you will, you know, be accused. More likely than not, you will be accused of shaken baby syndrome.
I think this is something that we could all turn a blind eye to this and go, oh, it's not really directly related to us. Our kids are older, whatever. We could have a disconnect. The reason why I wanted to get you on here is because, as you said just before, it could happen to anybody. It could happen to one of our children when they have children. And I think more than anything, at the very beginning, your whole prescription for life about being curious and not knowing what you don't know until you know. I didn't really know this was a massive issue. You told me off air that I think there's six or seven people on death row right now. Yeah. Now, we know, Therese, that there are people out there who are sick. They do hurt their children. They don't deserve to be parents. Mm-hmm. That's a minority, in my humble opinion, for what I've seen and what I've heard. But this really is an opportunity for us as a nation, as a group of intelligent, educated, informed people to actually support a transformation in the legal system. This mm-hmm. is what excites me, in the sense that if just one person listening to this mm-hmm. is helped or saved from going through what Zane and Naomi have gone through, honestly, that 11, 12-minute video, which I will put the link in the notes, mm-hmm. is enough to make us all realize any one of us could be in that situation. I know myself, I told you that my baby dropped off the change table. Mm-hmm. That's a long story, but I didn't know six-week-old babies could move the way she did. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a big clunk of wood that had landed off the wood pile. But my baby, I freaked when I picked her up, and I did shake her because mm-hmm. she was blue, and I wasn't shaking her violently mm-hmm. with an anger. It was desperation.
Yeah.
But I do recall thinking, not to shake, but I she wasn't breathing. And so I panicked. Mm. Now, if you see a child or someone you love not doing something, it's not that we ever do things with intent to harm. Our intent is to make sure our baby's okay as we call for help.
Yep.
Now, I would ask you, what is, apart from voting yes, mm-hmm. what else can we do as a society, as mothers, as parents? How do we help? How else do we help the Zanes and the Naomis of the world, where they really do need the support to help other people? Thankfully, they've got their children back, but it wasn't without a fight and it wasn't without pain and heartache. What else can we do?
Yeah, well, there are so many families now who haven't got their children back as well. You know, there are instances where mothers are pregnant again while awaiting trial, and they've been already been told that that baby is going to be taken from them after she gives birth. As such, we have formed a not-for-profit, the Parental Voice, as such, parentalvoice.com. Please follow us on social media. You'll find the Parental Voice in Instagram, on Facebook, on Twitter. We also have the website as such, where we have our YouTube channel. You'll see the other video as well, and you can share it. Go on and share it and make it public, because I cannot tell you how many times people have said this to me. I've sent that link to literally everyone I know, because we need to make this film. If we don't, I'm getting emotional, you know.
I know.
If we don't make this film, you know, families are going to be continued to be destroyed. You know, lives are going to be ruined. Little babies are going to be continue to be taken from their homes. We can't have that. We can't have that to continue. We have to put an end to that. The only way that will end is if we cause rigorous scientific review. And the only way that we can do this is to create the public awareness that demands that. And that's what I'm asking your listeners, the people watching this or listening to this, please. Please, I beg you with all my heart, not for me. This is, I'm just here to be a conduit to bring about, hopefully, to be able to bring about change, to be able to have Naomi and Zane and other people's stories shared through this documentary, so that we can transform an extremely broken system where we can stop this from happening predominantly. Stop people from being falsely accused, have them actually undergo fair and due process as such in law, so that they're not accused, where they don't lose their children instantly because they're accused of this. And, you know, the only way that we can really transform this is to actually have the science debated, a rigorous debate in regard to this, and get the new science, move away from the hypothesis of 1971, and that's all it is. It's a hypothesis. It was a thought by Dr. Norman Guthkelch that this is what could happen, and he even says on the video, in our snippet of our video, the snippet of what the documentary will end up looking like, that he never meant for it to be the science. They've taken it and misconstrued it completely.
Yeah. And I guess out of desperation, there's always people wanting an answer and there's protection for people that need it and all of those things. So once again, perhaps his hypothesis always was around the noble intent of supporting and helping and all of those things. It seems to me, and I don't want to call this, but it sounds to me like lazy science. It's not actually proven science.
No.
And what is also so disconcerting about this, and I'm curious to know, have your friends ever had a formal apology, any monetary support, any psychology support, any help whatsoever, given they got it so wrong?
They lost everything. You know, they were well established and had their own home, and they've lost absolutely everything. They were broken. In Naomi's words, they were broken. And you know what? Going through that, they're lucky to be here. And it's only through their faith, through their church, that held them in the palm of their hand as such that they got through it. But never a formal apology. Their case was dropped without a word to them as such. And they're left to pick up the pieces and the ruins within their life, you know, as a result. And the trauma and the stress that that has brought is incredible. But do you know what? They are fighters, and they were never going to plead guilty to something they didn't do. And you will see that. You'll see Naomi's strength in the video when you watch it, and in the end documentary. And there's so much more than what I've shared today in relation to their story, but that will come out, you know, in the documentary and be shared. And, you know, I just pray that this documentary, we get what we need to get through Angel Studios to get it produced, because it needs to be told. It must be told.
Yeah, and it's probably also groundbreaking for any of the old science or hearsay or hypotheses that needs updating. This is actually setting a platform for a number of situations, I would imagine, for many different cases. Mm. One thing that is so beautiful in the short promotional video is the two boys at the end, their little faces. How are they both doing?
They're great. They're absolutely amazing. They've moved away from the city. They're out on a farm and, again, getting back to nature and letting nature just filter through and the energy of nature filter through their little bodies as such. And they're doing great. There's a lot of mending that needs to occur, and there's a loss that they had. You mentioned, you touched on it earlier, Kim, the loss of that precious time that they should have been having as a family when they were first born, you know, and the turmoil and the stress that they were presented with as a result of the accusations and them fighting for their freedom, the energy that should have been, you know, that energy of love that should have been instilled in those little boys, that, you know, was impacted because they were fighting. They were trying to fight for Zane's freedom. And, you know, no one should ever have to go through that, you know.
It's just again, horrific.
Yeah. Again, there are people that abuse children. We know that. But there are people who are innocent and who are being charged with this that is now known to not even be scientifically feasible that this even exists, yet they're still pushing this, and we need to transform that.
Another thing that really blew me away is the lack of appreciation and respect for a mother's knowledge, for mm-hmm. a mother's intuition, for a mother's knowing. Mm-hmm. And that's something that has always had me question medical situations. When a mother knows there's something wrong, she knew the moment she gave birth to those little boys that there was something with Pax. Mm-hmm. What I find so disturbing in this is she brought that up from the very, very beginning. Mm-hmm. And to have to endure this, all I can say, beautiful Therese, is like you having to confront and having your spleen removed, having to go through that whole incredible, challenging story and journey you went on, actually brought you out into the open, into a world and into a place that has paved the way for many of us to follow and be inspired by. I just hope that you can pass on to that beautiful family, mm-hmm. how much myself, and I know it doesn't matter me per se, but the beautiful Self-Love Podcast listener, I just want you to know that we so have their back, that we are so inspired by their strength, their conviction, and their dedication to now being a trailblazing voice for others in the same predicament who have yet to have been cleared of such horrific, heinous crimes that they are not even guilty of. Mm-hmm. I just want you to know that my intent is to do whatever we can as a group to support you in being behind those two beautiful souls and their gorgeous boys. Mm-hmm. And I just want to say thank you once again for stepping out and into the space of social justice and using your platform as a way to make a change. And this is not just a change for this family. This could change the law and change the medical diagnosis of what actually shaking baby syndrome potentially could be. I want to just say thank you.
Oh, thank you, darling. Thank you so much. I just want to quickly mention we were approached by, received the lawyers for Robert Robertson in America. He's on death row and he's charged with shaking baby syndrome. He's exhausted all his appeals. And he's waiting, basically, they're waiting the execution date. They reached out to us this week. And I'm like, I cannot let an innocent man, you know, and the lawyers and the scientists are all saying he is innocent, but the system is failing him. And they haven't allowed the science, the new science, to actually be shown. And I can't stand by and let an innocent man be executed for something that I believe and science believes and then his lawyers believe he didn't do. So that can happen. You know, it's happening in America. We don't have the death penalty here in Australia, but there are families who are sitting in jail at this very moment because of accusations that they haven't had the ability to defend themselves, you know, and they don't have the means, financial or otherwise, to secure the correct or the right lawyer who knows how to defend them in this case. They're put into a system, a public defender system as such, where they don't have the ability to fund a lawyer who could really get them the defense that they need to prove their innocence. Naomi and Zane, fortunately, to a degree, they actually were able to organize a lawyer as such, but it took everything they had and more. And we had fundraisers and all sorts of things for them to help them. And they came out of it, thankfully, dropped against Zane, but with no apology, you know, no benefit whatsoever to them in relation to what they've lost. You know, in this documentary, please know, this documentary isn't about that. This documentary is to stop this from happening to other people and to reform an industry and to have the science rigorously debated and reviewed so that it doesn't happen and to return families to homes, you know, return the children and the father or the mother and especially the children who are put in foster care away from their loving parents falsely into homes they should never have been put in.
Well, I can say this, every single person listening to this right now, we cannot unhear this. Mm-hmm. We cannot let this just go and just be another interview. This is actually a real call for us to step up and into a space of supporting you and behind your dear friends. And on behalf of humanity, I would just ask every one of you listening to this that there is no accident that you're hearing it. Your voice matters. Your yes vote means more than you could ever imagine. And the few minutes it's going to take you to do this and the few dollars it'll take you to commit to doing that could change potentially and even support someone like Mr. Robertson in the USA getting off death row. I just want you all to know that there's no accident that you're listening to this right now or the timing of which Therese and I are speaking. And time is of the essence. We do not have weeks or months ahead of us. We only have a matter of the minute this goes to air. I'm going to call it probably 10 to 12 days. Yeah. So please, please get online. I'll put all the, can you just tell it in case someone's listening right now and they can't write it down? What is the best, where can they go, Therese?
So they'll have to sign up as an Angel Studios Guild member. So they go to angel.com sign up or register as a guild member. And then they really need the link, because you'd have to sort through or search through all of the new documentaries, intended documentaries, and it's a whole voting system. And it's beautiful. You know, the public decide whether or not they want this story to be told. And this story should be told to protect the public.
Yeah. Beautiful. If they forget all of that, let's say they're driving or they're out running or walking, we can follow you, and you've got all the links on your beautiful, and that might be easy to follow. Yeah. Can you just tell us your Instagram, Facebook, and all your handles, my love? And again, I'll put it in the notes, but just, I know people hear this well.
Yep. So Therese Kerr is my Instagram. Same with my Facebook. The other place you can go to is the Parental Voice. So we're just putting up a page on the Parental Voice. I'll just check. So it's always, everything's always evolving. So there should be a page now with the Angel Studios.
Because you have a number of Linktree links off your Instagram page.
I'll just check.
And that's why I think it'll be so good if you go there.
Yep, definitely. So, yeah, if they just go there, and they can also go to the Parental Voice if they would like to as such. I just want to say thank you, Kim. Thank you for you're an advocate for social justice and just a beautiful human being. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart on behalf of myself, but especially on behalf of Naomi and Zane, you know, for sharing their story and allowing me to share that with your listeners. And, you know, ultimately we need to transform this system, and having your assistance will help us do that.
I sincerely hope so, and I want to thank you. If there was a final message for the Self Love Podcast listener, maybe with an inclusion of your favorite quote, what would you like to say to them, my love?
I would just love to say, you know, if you don't love yourself enough, who will? Just honor and love yourself. Stand in your strength, in, you know, just your knowing. We have a knowingness within us and a strength, and, you know, that we have everything that we need in our life within us to reach into, and to reach for that courage to do whatever it is right, you know, and good in this world. And just believe in yourself and know that you are worthy of anything that you set your heart, you know, and your desires on. You are worthy of that.
Therese Kerr, thank you so much for being on the Self Love Podcast.
Thank you, gorgeous.
Thanks for listening to the Self Love Podcast. Be sure to write a review and share the love with your friends and family. And head over and visit Kim and her team at 28.com. That's the word 20 and the number 8.com. Take good care.
This has been a production of TheWellnessCouch.com. Check us out on Facebook and join in the conversation on Facebook.com/TheWellnessCouch. Subscribe to each show on iTunes and check us out on Twitter. The Wellness Couch, streaming wellness into your lives.
Whilst the Wellness Couch presenter endeavor to provide accurate and helpful information to their listeners, these podcasts cannot take into account individual circumstances and are not intended to be a substitute for health and medical advice from a qualified health professional. You should always seek the advice of a qualified health professional before acting on any of the information provided by any of the Wellness Couch podcasts.